Vader here with Ascend Live. Hope you are doing well. It is time for our weekly show, Ascend Live, and very excited to talk with you about some things that I think are very timely. So this is our episode for Sunday, March 15th, 2020. And we're titling this episode Hunkering Down, because that is what we're doing right now around the world, it seems. And we've known that this might be coming our way for quite a while. We have quite a few clients in South Korea, in China, just kind of all over the world who have been in kind of a social distancing or maybe even quarantine state for a while. And boy, it really hit the United States this week. Just today, we learned that our kids will be out of school this week, and then we already had spring break scheduled for the following week. So it is getting very real for those of us in the United States. It might have been pretty real for you for a while already, depending on where you are. And let us know where you're tuning in from around the world and what's going in. Go ahead and leave a comment in the chat if you would. If you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn or Periscope, let me know. I will see LinkedIn comments later, but if you're watching somewhere else like Facebook, I should see it right now. So I'll just say welcome in the chat here. We've got a huge crowd tuning in. I think this is twice the number of people we've had tuning in lately. So thanks very much for being here. And I'm going to assume that extraordinary times are giving people a little more flexibility in the ability to be here. This last week has been kind of a whirlwind of news. I mean, from one minute to the next, we could barely keep up. It's just been that way, like for the last week here. Beth says, e-learning starts tomorrow. Mary Lou says, hi from Texas. Tammy's tuning in also from Texas on Twitter. Tammy, remind me where you're tuning in from. Great to see you here. Teresa, thanks very much for being here. So yeah, Arkansas just announced that all schools are closing at least Tuesday through Friday, but you know, had the option to close Monday and ours did. So our kids are out of school for 2 weeks, so we basically told them, hey, look, you're homeschooled now, get used to it. So we'll see when that changes. We'll see when the world starts to return to normalcy. But we know this is largely about ensuring that hospital beds get, you know, protected for people who really need them, that the curve doesn't get too steep of people needing to be hospitalized, because we're going to be taxing our healthcare system pretty heavily, it looks like. And I know a number of people, you know, from church and so forth, who are hospitalized for other reasons already, and we know that they are highly at risk. So we understand why this is happening. I think I'm preaching to the choir here, an informed bunch. So what we are going to talk about today is what to do while you are hunkering down. Now, it's a little bit different than when there's a hurricane or when there is a blizzard or when there's, you know, some sort of inclement weather situation that usually is what causes us to use that term hunkering down. And I'm glad there's a new term that I hadn't heard before this current pandemic called social distancing. And one of the things that I realized over the last couple of days that's different about social distancing is that you can still go outside. You can still do stuff with your family. So what we're going to talk about tonight will give you an edge in the Ed Leadership job search. But I want to recognize that for a lot of people, you still are maybe have some work responsibilities. Maybe you're overseeing some sort of transition to e-learning or remote teaching. And I know everybody's kind of scrambling to get that figured out. Maybe you are in the midst of projects that still need to get done, like teacher evaluations, and you are presumably interested in a new position. But here's the thing. Hiring, in a lot of cases, has just ground to a halt. It has come to a standstill because nobody is around, nobody's in the office, everybody's got to be out of the office. We're under, you know, work from home kind of conditions. And it's kind of difficult to do hiring under those conditions, isn't it? Welcome Heather from Canada, Teresa from Texas, Mantakia from Austin, Christine from Washington State, the epicenter, and my where I was a principal. All right. Good deal. Good deal. Welcome everybody. Leave a comment if you haven't let me know where you're tuning in from. So what we are going to talk about today, again, is what to do to increase your chances and make yourself a more competitive candidate, even when no one is hiring, everything is frozen, and it doesn't seem like we're just kind of, you know, in a holding pattern. We're just kind of standing still. So a couple of quick recommendations. Number one, I don't know who is still posting positions. I assume somebody is, you know, there are people in HR who need something to do. They're working from home, so they're going ahead and getting those positions posted, I suppose. So if you see something, if you see a job that gets posted, it's the relevant kind of position for what you're looking for and you're qualified for it, go ahead and apply. Certainly, this is not the time to sit back and kind of bite your nails and say, well, I don't know, the world is crazy, maybe I won't apply for jobs. No, do the things that you know will move you toward your goal, even though there is so much uncertainty in the world. We don't know if we'll be out of school for 2 weeks or 8 weeks. You know, they're saying all kinds of things. Some states are saying we might not go back until summer, you know, who knows? We don't know. I don't know. You don't know. And we are not sure what's going to happen with hiring. But if you see a position get posted, throw your name in the hat. It cannot hurt. It will keep you focused on taking action. I don't know how much that's going to happen. Again, I think probably most of this is just going to grind to a halt until further notice. But don't stop checking. You know, check those websites. Ask around if you know that you have colleagues who are looking and they hear about something. You know, help each other out and make sure that you're getting those applications in, because sometimes there are a few things that can happen even if school itself is not happening. And Mantequilla says commissioner in Texas is considering canceling the rest of the school year. Yeah, so that's higher. That's under consideration in Ohio. New York City, I think, finally just decided to cancel for a while. So yeah, it's gonna be a while. It's gonna be a weird world, and we've got to kind of get used to that. So it's very likely that there will be no positions posted for a while. So I wanted to give you a couple of priorities to work on in the meantime, because as much as it might be kind of tempting, or like we might initially like the idea of like, geez, if I could just have a week to watch Netflix and hang out with my family, you know, I would really like to take advantage of that Disney Plus subscription and watch The Mandalorian. You know, there are lots of things that we can kind of dream about doing, and you might get some little projects done. But I want you to stay focused on your career goals, even if you're forced to stay home. And I want to give you a number one priority here. The first thing I want to encourage you to do after applying for jobs, if no jobs are posted, it's this: work on your cover letter. And after you've done the kind of easy low-hanging fruit edits, you know, after you've fixed the typos and after you've improved the sentence structure, I want you to think about doing a wholesale rewrite and thinking, okay, if I was in a college class and I had a professor who was tough, I don't know if you had any, let me know in the chat here, did you have any writing professors in college who were just tough and like they were not gonna be impressed by your, oh, I did this at 11 p.m. in 15 minutes last night kind of papers? I had a professor, Dr. Long, who later became the provost of the university. He taught this one class called Advanced Composition. And it was a class that was taken almost entirely by like serious English majors, like people who are going to become writers. And it was no joke. He would not accept first draft, kind of half revised kind of work. This was not about punctuation and spelling. This was not about sentence structure. This was about the quality of the argument you were making. And I remember, you know, turning stuff in that I thought was pretty good, because, you know, like you get used to, as a high school student, as a freshman in college, you get used to kind of getting, you know, easy grades on certain assignments. Like I had one English class where like basically I'd get a 97 or a 94 on everything, and it didn't matter what kind of work I put into it, I would always get a 97 or a 94. Well, that was not Dr. Long's style. He would take your writing seriously and he would put it through the ringer so that it would get better. And often he found lots of opportunities for my writing to get better. And I'll let you interpret that as you will. But in other words, I had to revise a lot. And I learned how to revise much more than I thought I would ever have to revise. And I want to invite you to use this season of oddity, this odd time that we find ourselves in, to give yourself another shot at your cover letter, to just, I don't want to say start from scratch, but to give it a thorough remodel, keeping only the very strongest elements. Maybe you have a sentence or even a whole paragraph that you feel like is worth keeping, but overall, maybe it's just kind of feels like the template that you used, or it feels like too much like the cover letter that you wrote for your last job, and this is a whole new level, whole new ball game, and you want to really bring the heat to that next level, this is the time to do it. So I thought what we would do here is I would do my very best to outline a cover letter. I don't think I'm going to get through the whole thing, and I told my wife I wouldn't go super long tonight, so we will try to keep this reasonably short, but I want to model a cover letter. So if you're interested in having me kind of outline some of your cover letter, let me know in the comments, and I'll put up Google Docs here, and we'll give that a try in just a minute. So stick with me. So that is the first priority. Second priority, I would say, if no positions are posted, I would work on your resume. And here is what I would work on adding to your resume. Number one, I would make sure you have a good objective, a good professional objective. Could somebody type that in the comments? Because I did not put that on my slide here. Make sure you have a good professional objective. Then for each position that you've held, I recommend that you write a summary statement and then some accomplishment bullets. Now, accomplishment bullets are really the meat of the resume, where they say, okay, I wrote a grant for this amount of money and here's what we did with it, or I overhauled the PBIS system and trained staff on blah, 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 resulting in blah, blah, blah. You know, those accomplishment bullets are really where you provide the detail and the evidence of impact in your resume. Now, your cover letter is mostly an argument and it's going to use some of that evidence, but you want to provide a lot more evidence in your resume. So summary statement, kind of giving an overview of the position. Sometimes it's helpful to give the context for that position, like what kind of setting you are in. But then those accomplishment bullets are, you know, long bullets, often full sentences or mostly full sentences describing specific accomplishments. We're not saying like supervised lunchroom. Okay, that's a duty. We're saying, revised lunchroom procedures to maximize recess time and minimize discipline issues during lunch, resulting in a 42% reduction in office referrals and 5 extra minutes of recess, or whatever the accomplishment was. So we definitely want to put some time into that if you have time. So cover letter first, resume second. Does that make sense? Let me know what you think in the comments. And by the way, if you are lurking, leave a comment, let me know where you are joining from. And Thomas is asking on Periscope, could you post an example? So yes, what I would like to do here is I would like to do an example live with you. And the way I'm going to do that is put Google Docs on the screen in just a moment. So hopefully that will work. We'll give that a try here. Third and finally, so we said, this will be my fourth recommendation. We said, first of all, apply for positions if there are some, revise your cover letter in any time that you have, revise your resume after that, and then anytime, I want to encourage you to practice interviewing. Now, if you have not been practicing on video, I promise you, you have competitors who are, because I know how many people have watched my videos. I know this is a strategy that is out there. People are doing this. I promise you need to practice on video. Fortunately, it's very easy. You've got your phone, talk into the front-facing camera, and practice those interview questions. I don't know what they're going to ask you in your interview. It varies. Sometimes they make it up on the spot or the day before. Sometimes it varies regionally. Sometimes districts have their own preferred questions. But I do promise, so I don't know what they're going to ask you specifically, but I do promise that if you practice using these 52 sample questions that I've provided at principalcenter.com/interview, you will be ready for just about anything. So here's what you do. You get out your phone, you pull up those questions, and you say, okay, I'm gonna answer one question. Now, my kids are in the next room, they're waiting on me, they think that I just went to, you know, get something from the other room, and they're gonna be wondering where I am in a minute, but I'm gonna take 4 or 5 minutes here, depending on the age of your kids, or you know, who's waiting on you for what. I'm gonna take 4 or 5 minutes here to just record a quick practice answer here. Record yourself on your phone, watch it if you want to. If you don't wanna watch it, just delete it. And then repeat, rinse and repeat. And if you do that a couple of times a day, you will get so many reps in, so much practice in, that you will not even recognize yourself by the end of that process. So if you have been practicing on video, give me a yes in the chat. I notice lots and lots of people are tuning in live here, and many more will see this later. So give me a yes in the chat if you have been practicing on video. While I'm waiting for those to come in, a quick tip, if you are in a situation where it's kind of awkward to practice on video just based on where you are, maybe you're you know, in your car, you know, riding with somebody, or maybe you are, you know, somewhere in your house and you just kind of don't want to be on video, you can use audio. Just use the audio recorder on your phone to make sure that you can talk for a good 5 minutes on any question that you may be asked. All right, let me know in the chat if you are practicing on video. Just give me a yes, and I will put up my cover letter outline next. And I think if I can have some help from you, I will go ahead and do this now. So let me know if you would like me to share some of your professional interests here. This might end up being kind of a composite of stuff that people tell me right now, and stuff that maybe I make up from my own experience, or just make up, you know, because I need to write something. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a cover letter very quickly here. It will not be complete, but I'm going to give you the skeleton, and it will give you a few things to think about as you revise or reconsider your cover letter. Now, before we talk too much more about rewriting your cover letter, if there's a job application that's due tomorrow, go ahead and send in what you have. Like, get what you have into the best shape you can. Like, don't nuke it and start over right now. Like, use what you have. But if you have some time, if there's nothing posted right now, go ahead and really give this a fresh start, and borrow limited phrases from your existing cover letter, just the very strongest phrases. All right, I'm noticing that nobody has commented. Maybe my comments are falling behind here, but nobody has said, "Hey, I've been practicing a ton, and you know, that's just been what I'm spending all my time on." So here's the thing: if not very many people practice on video, that works to your advantage if you are the one who is doing it. What you have to understand about the Ed Leadership job search is that it's all about competition, right? When you are up against other people for a particular job, you don't have to be the best candidate anyone has ever heard of. And often this is a mental barrier for people who are looking for a position that would be a promotion, right? They're looking to move to the next level. And they're thinking, well, you know, I'm trying to become a principal. I've only ever been a vice principal. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to really stand out if I'm competing against people who have already been principles. Well, here's the thing. That key word there is competing. And if you are a better competitor, then you can win in that process, even if you have less experience. It happens every single day. People get jobs over other candidates, over their competitors who have more experience, because they are a better competitor. So let's see. Oh, great comments coming in here. Van's interested in social emotional learning. Excellent. Let's see. Mary Lou says, interview scheduled for tomorrow was canceled. Mary Lou, definitely. I mean, I would be ready. I think, yeah, they're probably not going to do it. Stay tuned. Just say, you know, tell them thank you. You know, tell them you're standing by and ready to ready for that whenever it happens. But hey, you know, it's frustrating, but, you know, they still have that position. You know, the position's not going away. They're still going to have to fill that at some point. And I promise some of your competitors are not going to use this time to prepare. They're going to say, oh, I don't have to think about it for a while. I'm going to go to the beach. And you're not supposed to go to the beach, right? So so use this time to practice. Betsy says, pretty late to the job search and not too many positions have been posted. So yeah, this is your time. This is your time maybe to play catch up, maybe to give your application materials a serious look. And definitely, if you applied last year and didn't get anything, didn't get any bites, definitely take a fresh look at those materials and maybe even consider starting over. So, all right, Barb says, huzzah. All right, ready to go here. Okay, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to see if I can get out of my slides here. I'm going to keep this handy for myself, and I'm just going to grab this little outline here that I'm going to put up. You shouldn't see. Oh, I'm not sharing my screen right now. That's why you don't see anything. All right. So what we'll do here is I'm going to make a new Google Doc, and I will see if we can get this to work here. Let's see. Oh, gotta move some stuff around here. Give me just a sec. There we go. Okay. I'm going to do a sample cover letter. And we'll put the date. And here is my outline. Okay, you should see Google Docs here. I'm gonna keep my font huge if that's okay. And I'm even gonna zoom in a bit because I know some people are watching this on their phone. And I know it can be difficult to see on your phone. So I'm going to zoom in to like 200%. Okay, can everybody see that? Is that legible to everyone? All right. Let's see. Dana says, keeping up the search. Awesome. Yeah, you never know what districts are going to do, and I'm guessing most districts are going to do nothing this week, but we are not going to let that slow us down. So what I have here is kind of a five-paragraph structure for you to follow. The first paragraph should be all about your interest in the position and your fit for the position. Now, this is not, we don't want to make the first paragraph too much about just your interest, like, oh, I was reading the paper the other day and I stumbled across your job posting and I thought, oh, that would be perfect for me. And I was baking, like, you don't want to get into like too much stuff that they don't care about, but you do want to note that there is a fit between you and the position, you know, what they're looking for. So, interest and fit is the first paragraph. So I might say something like, dear blank district hiring committee, I am writing. I know this is super exciting to watch me type, but I'm writing to express interest in the assistant principal position at XYZ High School. We'll go with High School AP for now. I believe I would be an excellent candidate based on my experience serving students as a dean and attendance specialist. And I'm particularly interested in working in a school with a strong commitment to social justice and positive behavior supports. Now, I would list something right here if I knew that that was what the school was about. If there was something in the posting that spoke to me and said, hey, we are really looking for someone who is experienced with positive behavior supports. If I'm seeing those kind of key phrases, this is where I call out my interest. And if I have something more than interest, I'm definitely going to call that out. If I say I have 10 years of experience with XYZ, then I'm going to mention that right here and say why I am the ideal candidate. Now, I have no idea how much I've written so far because the font is huge here. So let me shrink this down to normal proportions here. We'll see about how long that is. All right, this is not a super long paragraph, so I can even mention something else. But that first paragraph is all about fit. What I might want to do here as well is give a little bit of kind of a framing comment about who I am, you know, what kind of person I am. So if I am a, you know, kind of a whole child educator, or if I'm someone who is all about systems, like if there's some big thing that you want people to know about you and why you're a good fit for that position, this would be a good time to mention that. But that's also what we talk about in the second paragraph. Barb, yes, if you will find this on LinkedIn or Periscope, if you go to twitter.com/eduleadership, Barb, it should have come up there. And good deal. All right. So hopefully the font is big enough for everyone to see here. So again, this is probably not a long enough first paragraph, but let me know if you have questions about what to include in that first paragraph. Van was saying social emotional learning. So let's say, let's add something about that. Over the past 5 years, I have dedicated myself to professional development on social emotional learning and have developed a skill set that I believe would be a tremendous asset to XYZ High School. Now, that's going to make some people uncomfortable. I don't know if this feels a little braggy to you. Depending on your personality, you may have to be more braggy or less braggy than you naturally feel like being. And I find that men generally are have an easier time of being naturally braggy. Women, you may have to like amp it up a little bit in order to really make a strong enough case. But again, that's kind of person to person specific here. So if I have developed a skill set that I believe would be a tremendous asset to the school, it's going to be in my interests to say that directly and to really argue it right off, you know, in the first paragraph, to directly state that that experience, that skill set, would be a tremendous asset to the school. If I don't call it out like that, there's a good chance that the interview team is going to miss it. So I really want to call that out here, even if it feels a little forward. You know, get feedback from people on that about exactly how forward to be. Now, in the recap and anticipation, we'll go ahead and put that in here at the bottom. We'll jump it back down to 12 a little bit here. Let me do the last paragraph here. I might recap with something like, based on my skills and experience, I believe I am an excellent candidate for the assistant principal position at XYZ High School. I would welcome the opportunity, or I would appreciate the opportunity, to interview for this position at your earliest convenience. Okay, we could say a little bit more about that. I wouldn't necessarily say something like, I'm definitely going to get an interview and I look forward to the interview. Like, I think you have to be a little bit careful, a little bit subtle about that. But you do want to ask for the interview. You do want to directly state that you are well qualified, that you think it's a great fit. So these middle three paragraphs here are going to be where you give the evidence for that claim. What we're really doing here in a cover letter is we are making an evidence-based argument. And if you understand that about a cover letter, if you understand that the purpose of a cover letter is not to simply have a piece of paper that covers your resume. Like, it's not just designed to be a cover. This is not a dust jacket for your resume. If you understand that the cover letter's purpose is to make an evidence-based argument that these people need to give you an interview, if you understand that purpose, then you can do an excellent job of that in your cover letter. So, what can go in these middle body paragraphs here, right? So classic five paragraph essay structure. Couple of tips here. Number one, use all of your space. This letter should take an entire page. You can single space. Usually they don't tell you to double space, and I would not double space in a cover letter. I would get it to one page. I would keep your margins reasonable, but you can fit a lot of text without doing anything crazy. You can fit a lot of text in one page of a letter. So this really should be a good solid five paragraph essay. So what do we put in those body paragraphs? You know, the exact breakdown of these, you know, can vary quite a bit, but I was thinking in terms of that second paragraph, the first body paragraph after your introduction here should be something of a profile. So let's shrink our font back down here. In the profile, I'm going to say some things that are in my resume, but I'm not just going to repeat my resume. And what I'm certainly not going to do is do a play-by-play of my career starting at the very beginning. Like, I'm not going to do, I was born in a log cabin on the Indiana prairie. We don't do that, okay? Do not do like the Abe Lincoln thing and then like I lost my first race for Senate and that, you know, like don't start at the beginning. What we want to do is we want to describe you right now. Because right now, you are more qualified than you have ever been for this job. So we're going to describe you as you are now and fill in the backstory, fill in the other details from earlier in your career as necessary. Does that make sense? Let me know if that makes sense as far as an argument structure. And by the way, if you have something that you would like me to write about, if you'd like some sample language, I'm just winging this here from your comments. But let me know, and I'd be happy to use your example here. We did a little bit on social emotional learning. So I'm going to fill in my experience here. And again, I'm making this up, and I'm happy to make it up on your behalf. So I'm applying for a high school assistant principal position. Let's see. So I'm going to give a little bit of an overview here about my experience. So I have been, I said here, a Let's see. What have I said I've been here? Dean of Students and Attendance Specialist. Now, I want to start with my qualifications as they currently are, because those are the strongest qualifications I've ever had. I wasn't more qualified in the past. I'm the most qualified now. But I also want to future pace a bit. I want to describe the work that I will do in that job. And I don't want them to think too much of me as an attendance specialist and dean. I want them to think of me as an assistant principal. So one thing I might do is I might describe my beliefs about the job that I'm applying for, even if I've never had that job before. And here's how you can do that. You can say something like, I believe one of the key contributions, it's a good phrase, contributions of an assistant principal is to create an environment that is predictable, welcoming, and nurturing for all students. Nurturing for all students or whatever. So start with a statement of belief. One of the key contributions of an assistant principal. Okay, what I'm doing here is I'm saying this is how I see my role. I don't have the role yet. I've never had that role. But when you give me that role, this is what is going to be my priority. And then you fill in whatever your priority is. So what you're basically doing here is you're setting yourself up in their mind as that person, but you're not making a false claim. You're not saying, well, I've already been an assistant principal and here's how I approached it. You're saying, here's what I believe about this role. And then you can provide some evidence. Throughout my career, I have dedicated myself to continued learning in order to meet the needs of, you know, our most struggling students or whatever. All right, let's see. We've got some great suggestions coming in here in the chat here. Language about developing a shared mission and vision. All right, that would be a great thing to put under either highlights or key experience. Like let's say you're applying for a principal position. You definitely want to convey the sense that, you know, that you can do that. So maybe we'll do another key contribution example here. Now you probably wouldn't say the same thing twice in a row here. So let me actually start a second version of this. We'll say AP, we'll say principal here. I believe one of the principal's most important responsibilities is to develop a shared vision and enlist staff its pursuit through blah, blah, blah. So you're describing yourself as a principal without making the claim that you are the principal. And in order to kind of close that gap, in order for this not to be just speculation, you want to provide as relevant a set of evidence as you can. Let's see. In my most recent role, I participated in the development of, I worked alongside my school's building leadership team. Okay, if we want to make this as active as possible, so we don't want to say like I was selected to or I just participated. Like you want to make it as active as possible and still be accurate. In my most recent role, I worked alongside my school's building leadership team to develop a strategic plan and mission statement, which guided our school's professional learning agenda over the next 3 years. As a result of this work, we made key decisions about blah, blah, blah. Maybe we budgeted in accordance with that mission or vision. So we're giving some kind of examples of how that played out. And we're not having to say here, I've been a principal before, I've been an assistant principal before. We're not having to say I've done this exact thing, but we're citing something that we did do that was relevant. And we're going to run that same play over and over and over again here in the cover letter. We're going to anchor a belief. We're going to anchor that in a responsibility of the role. And then we're going to give relevant evidence. Let me give you another example here. And I've talked with this with a current client about this quite a bit because he has a lot of experience with finance. Let's see. One of the key responsibilities, I'm using that phrase kind of a lot, you can break it up a little bit more, of a rural superintendent is to ensure the fiscal stability of the district in changing times. I have extensive experience with developing and levies and bond measures that enjoy broad support from tax-averse communities. All right. So in that particular context that I'm thinking of, getting taxes passed, getting bond measures passed is difficult. So he wanted to call out that particular experience. And then what we might do there is, since that's kind of a key pillar issue for this type of role, he might describe the process that he used. So I first worked with district stakeholders, district and community stakeholders, to develop a list of priorities and concerns and held a number of public meetings, blah, blah, blah. We'll go into the details there. And then we want to apply that to the position that we are seeking. So, you don't necessarily want to call out like specific struggles of that organization, but you do want to call out how that is relevant. So highlights here in the third paragraph, we continue, or the third body paragraph, fourth overall paragraph, we want to continue to do that kind of thing and give a sense of some of the outcomes. So if you won an award, I know we have some people tuning in here who have won awards for various things. If you led your school to a particular success, a particular milestone, this fourth paragraph here would be a great place to list some of those highlights. But when you do that, when you talk about your past experience, you always want to frame it in terms of what will be happening in your next school, the work that you are prepared to lead. So your cover letter is going to look different from everyone else's. I do not want to give you a fill in the blank, where you just kind of change the proper nouns and it's completely my structure. This is the kind of thing where you really are representing yourself, and the more authentically your letter does that from scratch, the better. I probably could give you a template that you could kind of fill in the blanks, but everybody's would sound kind of the same. But that's not where the big opportunity for you is, my friends. The big opportunity is for you to shine through a letter that is uniquely you. Now, the challenge of that is that writing is hard, right? Writing a great cover letter from scratch is hard. So put in the time. You've got the time. You've got the opportunity now. If school is out for a while, if hiring has been delayed, or maybe your school's not out, but the district you're applying for, they're kind of kicking the can down the road on that. This is the time to put in that work. So if you are a Ascend Masterclass client, if you are a Navigator member of the Principal Center, then you are welcome to reach out, and I would be happy to help you with your cover letter. This is actually not accurate anymore. I didn't change this from last week because we had, I think, 7 spots last week, and we've got 4 today. I know some of you are on here live. If you will be working on cover letters, resumes, anything like that in the coming week, and you're in the Ascend Masterclass, or you're a Navigator member of the Principal Center, please reach out. I would be happy to set aside some time to work with you. We can do some practice on video. I can get you an account in our SIDMe video coaching app and can give you feedback on your videos. We can work together in Google Docs. And I'll actually pull this up here real quickly so you can see how we actually do this. So we'll get out of Google Docs here. I've got another Google Doc here. What we do basically is we make you a copy of this Google Doc. This is my template. And let me know if you can see that there. We make you a copy of this. And this is all on our overview page. You can see all of these kind of bullet points on the overview page. And then we basically make that into a checklist and we go through each step here and kind of figure out what needs to happen next. We do practice interviews. We do the professional objective, cover letter, resume, work on recommendation letters, requesting recommendation letters. I usually recommend that I review your recommendation letters so that you can make sure that there are no red flags in those. So if you're interested in doing that, if you're a Navigator member already, please feel free to claim one of those spots while they are unclaimed. We have well over 100 Navigator members, and you know, most are not looking for jobs right now. They're welcome to go through the Ascend Masterclass materials. If you would like help with that, let me know, and I'll set aside some time for you. I'll set aside a spot for you. If you are not a Navigator member, you're not a member of the Ascend Masterclass, you can learn more about that at principalcenter.com/ascend, and I would be happy to give you one of those last four spots. And when I say last four, what I'm doing with the masterclass is I'm phasing out the individual support as I get more of this recorded for people. So as it's more self-explanatory, I'm shifting away from that kind of one-on-one support, but I'm not going to pull that support away from anyone who currently has access to it. And if you would like one of those last couple of spots, feel free to grab one. You can go to principalcenter.com/ascend to learn more. Or if you are already a Navigator member, our top level membership of the Principal Center, just let me know and we can start working together immediately. Betsy is asking a great question here, and let me see if I can put that on screen here. Let's see. I'm a little out of practice with this. Let's see. Yeah, that will come through here. How much do hiring committees read the cover letter? That is going to vary. I think that's a great question. It is going to vary, but it's, you know, we don't know how much they're going, how carefully they're going to read it, but we do control how good it is, right? And I think when people start skimming, it's because the cover letter is not interesting. It's not telling them something they really need to know. Like if your cover letter is basically, oh, I would so love to work in your district. Your district is so nice and it's closer to my house. And it'd be really nice if the district was closer to my house because my mother-in-law lives in your district too and blah, blah, blah. Like if they can tell skimming it that they don't need to read it, they're not gonna read it. If it looks really interesting, if it calls out lots of specific evidence about why you're a good fit for the position, that is going to catch their eye. People are skimmers, absolutely. But if your cover letter is providing evidence and providing an evidence-based argument that adds value above and beyond what's in your resume, people are going to read it. And even for the people who don't read it, even if they just kind of look at it real quick and then flip the page, seeing that it's solid, that it's not just see attached, like if it's literally just the dust jacket, as I said earlier, for your resume, then it's not going to do you any good, right? It's an opportunity that you have to really stand out. But if it's just a recap of your resume in kind of narrative form, then that's going to get real tedious. And they're going to start looking at it. They're going to be like, first, I worked at this school district as a teacher's assistant. And then I did this. And then I did that. If it's clearly just like a paragraph version of your resume, yeah, they're going to skip it. So really strive to make this an evidence-based argument. Hope that helps. Let me know what you think about that. All right, I have got to run. We've been going fairly long here. Let me know if this has been helpful to see me kind of fumbling through writing in Google Docs in real time. That was kind of fun for me to just give that a try, to fire up Google Docs and make my font really big and do some writing with some of the phrases that first came to mind for me. I know that I should not use those phrases in their final form. If I have certain things that come to mind just right off the tip of my tongue, I probably need to revise those. But I'm going to get at least a good start. You know, don't give yourself permission to get the good ideas out there and then revise the wording as you go. Like you're not going to send in your first draft. So don't worry if you said, I believe one of the chief responsibilities of the assistant principal, like if you start all three paragraphs with that phrase, yeah, you're going to need to change that. But don't be afraid to do that just to get the ideas out, and then you can revise. All right, Betsy says, thank you. Chris says, very helpful. Thank you. Brooke says, thanks. Great to see so many familiar names here. All right, I have got to Run, I will see you next time. I honestly have no idea what we're going to be doing next Sunday. Who knows what the schedule will bring. We were supposed to be at Disney World. That's not happening. you can guess that is not happening. Big kudos to Airbnb for giving us our money back. And I think Disney will get us rescheduled. But I don't know if we're going anywhere. We'll see. We're going to kind of lay low like everybody else and see what happens here. All right. So Betsy is asking, what is the difference between Ascend and Navigator? So Betsy, those are coterminous. Those are the same level of membership. That's a $2,400 level of membership. It's a lifetime purchase. We have a payment plan. You can do $99 or $199 a month, whatever works for you. And in both cases, you get access to everything that we offer, including the Ascend Masterclass, but including all of our other programs, as well as lifetime membership. So we've had different ways of doing it in the past, but we've made the decision to really just give you everything. So if you're an Ascend Masterclass student, you also have everything else that we offer. There's nothing else for you to buy after that in terms of courses. One way that you can use this time, if you are a Navigator member, this would be a great time to go through our other programs, like the High Performance Instructional Leadership Certification, like our past episodes of this show right here. This is episode, I think, 38. We've done this for a very long time now, and we've got lots of advice out there for you. So if you want to spend some time going through that, you have access to all of that in your dashboard. And if you have questions, just hit me up, send me an email, and I or our team will get back to you. They are working remotely now, but we sent everybody home with their iMacs on Friday because we kind of knew this was coming. So we're going to, everybody works from home now. So we got the big iMac boxes out of storage, and they're taking home these 27-inch iMacs because, hey, interesting times, huh? All right, take care. That is it for today. Let me know how I can help, and keep me posted on your search. Chris, great to hear from you, and we'll talk soon. Take care.